So, Chris, it's been a while.
Right? Oh, shit. We starting?
Yeah. Check it out. Let me ask you, when's the last time you wore rubber?
Not for a long time, my friend. I don't need that shit.
Okay.
Was that just to be explicit? Do we get the explicit out of the way?
Just to get... No, explicit's going to be in the whole show, but we'll make it as natural as possible.
All
right. All right, so you ready for this motherfucking cocksucking show? All right. Nothing gets edited today, bitches. All right. I bring up, have you ever worn rubber? Because today's show is about rubber. I know, not the kind you put on your Johnson, but independent film that was released. And if you saw it from scrolling through Netflix and you passed over it to watch Sharknado, no problem. But you should go back to it and check it out. So, I had a whole bunch of things about this movie, and the more I thought about it, the more I liked this movie, even though it's bizarre.
Wait,
ridiculous.
Wait, hold on. Just so you guys know, the movie was about a tire with telekinesis that could blow up people's heads.
Yeah.
So,
we'll that's for just watching it, like if you walked into a room and you saw a tire on the television set blowing people's heads up. that would be your initial reaction to, you know, what the fuck is this, man? And kind of like what, you know, my better half did. I'm sitting there and she's like, hey, what you watching? I'm like, rubber. And she stood up and she was looking at it and she saw the tire roll. And she saw the tire rolling away after someone. And a kid followed it and it turned around and then it like blew some shit up. And she went, why the fuck are you watching this? I said, because I've been dying to watch it, to get it out. We're going to talk about it on the show. And it's actually, in a bigger sense, in a more explicit sense, there's a really deep message in there. And one that's not so hidden, you know, and anything about the movie. Well, I'll let you start it off. What were your thoughts on the movie? Did you have, all right, when you first, tell us what you saw when you first saw it. But did you see anything within it? Like, did you see any kind of, like, what it, like anything it was trying to say, you know?
Well, the first thing I thought was, I should do something horrible and nasty to Ed. For making me watch this movie. That's the first thing.
Remember, I saw Sharknado.
But that was an amazing movie.
Yeah.
You have nothing to say to me about it. So anyway,
we'll put a poll up by the end of the week and see which one people enjoyed more.
No, dude, no one's gonna enjoy rubber. No one's gonna enjoy rubber.
Yes, they will, man. It's a smart, smart movie. But go ahead.
I don't know. I think you could take away a smart or two, but anyway, my thoughts on the movie were. What the F am I watching? What the fuck am I watching? Right?
Yeah.
And I was entertained by some parts, that's for sure. Like, when the tire decided to take a shower. that was great.
Let me tell you something. First of all, guys, this is a whole commentary on rubber. So this whole thing is a spoiler. Just telling you that now.
And then the maid saw the tire in the shower, got mad, threw out the tire. And then the tire proceeded to get back up and murder the maid with this telekinesis. I mean, if someone did that to me, I guess I'd do the same thing if I had telekinesis.
If someone turned off your shower in the middle of it and threw your ass out the room?
Yeah, I'd be pretty upset. So, there's that. So, I can't really blame the tire on that. aspect. Okay? But then you had this whole background thing of an audience watching the movie within the movie.
Yeah.
And...
which I thought was brilliant.
I understood there was an effort there to be metaphorical, but I don't know. It was kind of failing. I was just interested in what crazy shit the tire was going to do next, more than the metaphor.
Okay, so I'm gonna take.
And I'm sure everyone turned off the podcast already. So
I'm gonna take the dork route about this.
What's different?
The dork.
We're doing a podcast.
I'm gonna take.
What do you mean you're gonna take the dork route? We've been on that for like 8 weeks.
Listen.
9 weeks.
All right. When I saw the movie, I instantly realized that it was kind of more of a commentary on Hollywood films and how, as we as a culture of movie watchers, view movies and how we become spectators and, you know, accept the shit that's put on screen and we just watch it, you know? And, It's just the whole thing, you know, when it starts off and the cop comes and gives the preface, you know, and he starts asking questions about other movies. But why? No reason. And he's almost doing what kind of Hollywood does to us as fans, as movie watchers. They kind of preface and tell us what they want us to know because they don't think we're intelligent enough to get what they're putting out there. You know, you ever get the feeling when you watch a movie that they didn't have to say a certain thing or they didn't have to constantly force feed you something? You got it. Let's move on, you know? So, you know, listen, we could really, really, I'm not going to really, really dissect this movie, but we're going to go into as much as we did Sharknado and looking for the little hints.
Let's not go that far.
And little bits. Just the whole movie, I felt was.
And I admit we went too far with Sharknado. You know,
the whole thing was the director was trying to obviously take a stab at Hollywood and how Hollywood treats his fan base, and in return, how the fan base creates the spectacle. You know, that is movies. You know, they give us the poison turkey. Remember the poison turkey scene, and everybody's going crazy. What you thought more about the poison turkey? What you thought it represented? Did you think it was just another stupid plot to move the movie along, or did you think that had some like significance?
I knew there was significance, and I knew that by killing the audience you were trying to end the movie, and that didn't work out because the one guy who didn't eat the turkey wouldn't let it go. So maybe that was like the obnoxious fanboy kind of thing.
Oh, see, that's a good take. I didn't
possibly.
Yeah,
but I struggle to give it that much credit.
I saw that more of, like, even when we watch a movie, we're kind of just poisoning ourselves. If not with what we're watching, if not with the bullshit that they're putting out there. When we go to the movies, what do? We get our overpriced hot dog, popcorn, candy, and a ginormous bathtub-sized soda. And we sit there for an hour and a half, just kind of just drowning ourselves in this shit.
Not me. My pop would make me run into the bodega, put a bunch of waters and sodas in my pants. And then we could run into the movie, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Listen, that was all good back in the day, but I'm not saying anything. I'll maybe bring a bag of M&Ms and Skittles to the movies. You know, I'm not really bringing anything else into the movies.
You wore your MC Hammer pants. And you
I don't know. Maybe I feel like I'm too above to bring a sandwich to the movies.
You're an obnoxious twat, you know.
There's nothing bothers me more in the fucking movie theaters, second to babies in the theater, than someone opening up aluminum foil and eating some shit.
Okay.
Let me tell you, there's three things that bother me in the movie theater. Babies in a movie that's not for kids. And if it's a baby, the baby ain't there to watch the movie for kids anyway. So fuck out of here. I hate that shit. Two, the aluminum foil. Someone decided to come on a matinee and bring something that smells up the whole goddamn theater. And all you hear is the... And they do that shit through the whole movie until the plot line comes, they're finished, and now what they're doing? They're sucking down their goddamn drink. hate, and that's why maybe I don't feel like I'm above it, but I just don't want to be inconsiderate like some someone's of those bastards. Someone's
turning
to
beat red right now. Really
angry. It gets me really angry. And then you know what else gets me angry? I go to a movie, and I never go when it first comes out.
Doing podcasts? What?
I never go when it first comes out. I go 2 weeks in, on like a Wednesday or a Thursday. I make sure there shouldn't be more than 15 people in the movies when I go. That's how late I go. I sit in a nice, comfortable spot, somewhere middle, you know? And some wank, I guess with the same idea that he wants to sit in the middle, can't sit within 4 or 5 seats from me. Either sits right behind me or about right in front of me. Dude, man.
What if he's taller than you and he sits in front of you?
No. Someone's done that before. And I asked him, I'm like, dude, really? Can you slide over, man? And he was like, there's a lot of space. I'm like, yeah, but I think I got this. Like, I was here, you know? And he was just like, all right, I guess. Well, I went to see the new Hobbit movies, the first one. And 5 rows in front of me, far off to the left, there was a guy who had a goddamn Bluetooth in his ear. Right? He wasn't talking on it. I give him that. He wasn't talking. But it had a little blue light blinking. Blink, blink, blink. You couldn't hear it. But trying to watch this movie, in the corner of my eyes, this blue light just blinking, Chris. And the movie theater was crowded. This was 2 weeks in, and the movie theater was still crowded. I got up, and I went to him. I'm like, dude, that blue light is lighting up the hole behind you. It's really distracting. He gave me a look and did the slow, like, I'm turning it off because I want to motion. Turned it off. As I was walking back, all I heard was people going, oh, thank you so much. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I'm like, come on, man. The movies used to be such a like exciting experience, a fun experience.
Well, my thing is, who do you think you are that you're that important? You got a Bluetooth headset
in the movie theater? You got a Bluetooth headset in the movie theater, man. Like, oh, man. Anyway, back to rubber. You know, the whole thing, you know, we took 2 different things from the turkey, and I definitely thought it was just kind of like a poisoning of what we do to ourselves when we go to movie theaters. But how about the fact that all the people watching the movie were your typical moviegoers? You had the 2 teenage girls, the loud black lady, you had the father and the son, and the old disabled guy. And that's kind of the mix of people you see when you go to a movie theater. And what happens in the first minute? The kid goes, Pop, I'm bored. And the father's like, just keep watching. And I know from experience, I tell my kids, let's watch a movie. And my youngest always goes, oh my God, is this going to pick up? And the credits are still rolling in the beginning. And I always like, could you give this shit a chance, man? Just give it a goddamn chance. And then he ends up liking the movie. So, you know, I appreciate what the director was trying to do as far as mimic his movie through what he feels Hollywood does, you know, while making movies and stuff like that. What did you think about after everyone died, and then the cop goes and the cop comes out and he goes, "All right, folks, that's it." And everybody who's in the movie with him was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "That's it. We're actors. This ain't real. We could go home. Nobody's watching no more. We could go home." And he tells the other cop to shoot him. Right?
Yeah.
I found that awesome. That part.
Why?
Because the host then comes, and I felt like. Like, that's how it is sometimes, that when they think you're not paying attention, they kind of just do things, and you're like, what just happened? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then the host comes and tells him, no, we still got one more. He didn't eat the turkey. And he's like, oh, man. He puts his badge back on. He's like, oh, everybody, forget everything I just said. Let's keep on with the movie. And the movie continues. And he goes back frustratingly, to keep the movie going. And it was an abrupt scene that I think changed the movie at that moment. So, you took anything from that? I thought that was the most interesting part of the movie, where the movie and the spectatorship of how you watch the movie kind of became, like, they pulled the curtain back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They kind of pulled the curtain back on there.
Well, I think the fact that guy wouldn't let things go was what wouldn't end the story, because that's the one, the critic who harps on anything and everything, who just cannot let something go. And you know what, you say that we're being poisoned, but at the same time, there's a suspension of disbelief. Can we just let it go? It's a movie.
Yeah.
It's not a documentary.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think there was some element of that in it you know. But overall, just definitely not as entertaining as Sharknado.
No, I disagree. Sorry. I hardly disagree.
Sorry.
Listen, I like the fact that the old man kind of represented that fan who, like, remember at the end when they try to kill the tire and they get the mannequin and it's not working, and then the old man finally, from spectatorship, goes to the people in the movie and is like, it's not working, man. This ain't working. We got to do something different here. Like, go back to the girls for it. What are we doing here? We're throwing off the whole plot of the movie. Like, this just ain't working. And it doesn't work. So then the sheriff finally just takes a gun, and the guy's like, what are you doing? You're going to take a gun? That's how you're going to end it? Just by shooting him? Come on, you led me on this all this way, and you're just going to shoot him? What a bad ending. Come on. He goes, comes out, gets in the tire. And he's like, oh, I can't believe I sat through all of that for that ending. And then a tricycle comes out. He's like, all right, you didn't end it. There's more. His kid. Remember at the end? And the tricycle comes out. And you almost felt like, you know, we watch these movies. We get this ending. A lot of times we're not happy with some of these endings. And you think, well, we're not happy with some of these endings. And we commented. And a lot of people go online.
Or maybe it's just a commentary on how we should wait till after the credits.
Yeah, you could be right. Yeah. You know, we could listen. How about the two dorky guys? I just named everybody. I named the two girls, the father and the son, the loud black. They just named, but there was those two dorky guys.
Oh, you mean us?
Yeah. But we don't talk in the movies. There was those guys who were watching, going, "What's going on? I don't understand what's going on. How could this happen?" And blah, blah, blah. And everybody was like, "Shut up and just watch." It was almost as if though, yeah, it was almost like just let everything play out. And I think as fans of movies, we want things to play out such a certain way that when we don't have the patience for it, so the director just goes, bah, and ends it. And then to make things worse, they come out with sequels. Because that's what it was at the end. You know, he came out with the tricycle, and he had all these sequels. The tricycle started recruiting other tires, and where did they go? It went to Hollywood. Right? Yeah. So, you know, it was almost... Once I thought about that movie, I thought about Michael Bay. You know what I'm saying? I thought about how everything he does gets so scrutinized and destroyed by the fans who don't give it a minute, who don't give him time to kind of let his series of movies play out. And he ends up changing things to please the fans, but yet it's not really what he wants to do. And it all ends up being jumbled and kind of screwy. So... that's why I liked it. I mean, it wasn't as funny as Sharknado. It definitely didn't have the laugh factor. It was more of a serious tone to it. But I enjoyed it more, I guess, as a whole of, you know, than Sharknado. But I still loved the Sharknado. I thought Sharknado was crazy.
I'm sorry, man. It was an extremely ham-fisted movie, man. Come on.
I liked Rubber. Listen, that movie's not gonna win Oscars.
It's like, you know, when you sit down to a meal you just don't like, and you eat you, but you have to eat it because you don't want to spend the money.
So you didn't like anything about Rubber? Like, you see, when I first saw Sharknado, I went
trying to eat your broccoli or something.
This is the worst shit ever. But then I started looking at it, and I turned my lenses around. I turned my lenses off. I put on my all right. What's going on here, lens? And I saw all the little comedic geniuses in the movie. And was this real? Or did they mean for this stupid shit to happen? So then that becomes entertaining. You didn't find nothing good, like, in that sense, for this? I thought you would really like this movie. I thought the message behind it would kind of make you go, yeah, it was good. But maybe it wasn't as funny or entertaining as Sharknado. But I thought it had, like, it was cool. I thought it was cool.
Something like that, if you're gonna have like some sort of message, but then the main character of the movie is a fucking tire.
What? It was.
It has to be funnier.
No, dude. Okay. Listen, the tire was a psycho killer. The tire represented a psycho killer.
I mean, the tire taking a shower was hilarious.
But the tire represented a psycho killer. So, in that sense, do we really need the psycho killer? The story was still the same. The plot was the same, except it was a tire. We could take a tire out and put a psycho killer. We could take the psycho killer out and put a kid. Whoever we put there, the movie stays the same.
Regardless, yeah. It's a tire. But it has to be funnier. It's a tire.
But then the tire is sitting At the bottom of the pool wouldn't be funny. The tire taking a shower wouldn't be funny. The tire blowing up a bunny rabbit wouldn't be funny.
There were funny parts.
The tire turning around every time somebody talked to it.
Yeah, no, that was funny. I'm saying, like, what had to be taken up a notch in that department.
But I don't think it was made to be a comedy. It falls under the horror in Netflix.
No, I don't know.
Sharknado was a horror. You know that, right? It falls under horror.
Boy, that's mislabeled. Two horribly mislabeled movies.
When you put in top 10 horror indie films, Rubber is like number 6 or 7. Last time I checked, about a month and a half ago.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Sharknado should be in the comedy. The tire should be in the snooty artiste section. Okay?
Chris, I'm surprised at you. I really... I'm surprised you don't find a bigger appreciation. You being an artist and a photographer yourself, I'm surprised you don't find a bigger appreciation.
Like I said, there's a balance to everything. You make it real funny, and then you can have the same message. But it's a tire. Beef. A little bit more funny.
There was a tornado with sharks.
That was hilarious by itself. You don't need anything else.
Yes, but it was meant to be... we had this earlier. I think Sharknado was meant to be... serious, no. And it was silly. And Rubber was meant to be silly, and it was serious. I don't know what they did, man. They were really trying hard to act. They had the guy from 90210, man. You know?
Exactly. Ooh, that's funny.
But he's an actor, and they had the girl from American Pie, you know?
Funny right there. Humorous casting. Not casting comedians, but casting people that you're going to laugh at.
Oh, anyway.
Not with.
If you guys like looking at, you know, films that have a hidden, like, a message, you know, check it out. Like Chris is saying, it's not the greatest comedy, you know. I don't think it's meant to be. It's meant to be a parody on our culture as moviegoers and movie viewers.
Like,
but there's no real comedy to it unless you really look at the, like, dark.
I would
comedy.
Have added a scene where the tire falls in love with another tire.
It did. Oh, tire. Women fall in love with the girl.
It was no, like another tire, but it gets mad because the tire's not responding.
And it just bumps alive. It.
Yeah, just.
And then it becomes comedy. It goes on top of the tire and it starts squeaking up and down.
That would be hilarious. That would be hilarious.
And then a bunch of rubber bands come out.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, but then that would be. It would have took away from the message they were trying to deliver.
I'm okay with that. I'm alright with that.
Alright, so when we took about that, right?
I understand what you're saying. It just took a long time to get there.
Well, it was 80 minutes. It was only like 84 minutes.
Oh, like forever, man.
Alright, so let me just ask you, and maybe we'll do this at the top.
Forever! Sorry.
See, if I was drinking right there, and you would have hit my drink into your computer, that would have been your fault. He swung his hand like he was a king gesturing to his people.
3 feet away from you. What do I have? Orangutan arms?
Alright, so maybe we'll make this a top five some other time. But just thinking about this movie and them trying to say, like, sometimes movies make sequels that they shouldn't. What's one movie you could think of that it was good? Maybe the ending was great. Maybe it wasn't. But it definitely shouldn't have had a sequel.
That's a tough one.
We'll think about that. Maybe we'll make that a top five. Maybe next week.
Yeah.
We'll do a top five movies that shouldn't have sequels. Shouldn't have had sequels.
If we're going to do that, we got to combine it with spin-offs that shouldn't have been made.
Excellent.
There you go.
Excellent.
We've mentioned that before. We just don't do it.
We'll do a top seven. And it'll be between movies and spin-offs that shouldn't have been made.
There you go.
There you go. And it won't be 8, because that's easy. It's 4 and 4. We'll do 7. Next week, top 7 spin-offs or movies that shouldn't have been made. Yeah, top 5. Top 7. That's so stupid. We'll do top 5.
I wasn't going to say anything. Just going to let you hang with that.
You know what? We're just going to give you our shit. It ain't going to be top nothing. We're just going to tell you what the hell. That's what you had to say about Barbara, Chris?
Yeah.
Do you wish you'd watched The Purge now? It's wish you would have watched The Purge?
No, because that shit would have been $10.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You had to buy it. What's with Netflix? What's with these things that give, like, movies that are 2 years old, you got to buy for $8.99?
I don't know, man. It wasn't on Netflix. So
but I just watched Fast and the Furious 6 for $3.99, $4.99, And then Purge, you can't even rent. You gotta buy it.
That, well, it's like that Stallone movie that came out that nobody watched.
Bullet to the Head.
Yeah, that was for sale forever, and didn't come out to rent till like recently.
You know what was on sale, and I forgot about it, and then when I finally saw it, it was on sale for $8.99, and I eventually just bought it because I've been waiting 2 years to see this movie, Chronicle. The Chronicle about the teenagers who got superpowers because they went into like a alien gem. It crashed and they were like, yo, let's what happened there? And they went to see it and they went inside this hole and then they were like, oh, what is that? It was a bright light. And when they got next to it, they touched it and something flashed. They all woke up in their beds, but when they woke up, they all had a different power. And they were high schoolers. They didn't know how to deal with this power.
You bought that?
It was $7.99.
Oh yeah, it's only like
But I waited so long, and it was $14.99, then $10.99, then $8.99, then finally became $7.99, and I said fuck it, and I bought it. And I'll have it on my goddamn PS3. I'm never gonna watch that shit again, but I wanted to see it, and I enjoyed that movie. That movie was real good. If you guys haven't seen Chronicle, check out Chronicle. It's a really good movie. It almost made you feel like you were watching a dark version of like Heroes. You know, a dark guy. Oh, quick news on that. Heroes returning on...
What is that? Going to be a mini-series?
It's going to be a 13-part mini-series return in 2015.
13-part? That's called a season.
Yeah, season. What I mean, series. It's a season. Yeah, the what they're saying was the season that never was. Krang. Was it Krang? I forgot. Tim Krang, the creator of the original Heroes series.
I think that was his name.
Yeah, he's bringing back a 13-part season to finish it off, to finally end it. It's 2015 because they're trying to get everybody on board with it again. Yeah. And, you know, I forgot his name, but the guy who plays Spock, you know, we got to get him on board. You know, they're probably going to be making another a third Star Trek. So we got some stuff going on in the movie front. So I hope you enjoyed that. I know we gave away the movie Rubber. If you stopped listening and you've come back, we've done. Check it out, though. Even if you heard the whole plot from us, check it out for yourself. It's only, you can put that on in the background. Or, you know, check it out. You'll really enjoy it. If you watch Sharknado because of us, watch Rubber. And then you can decide who you agree with, me or Chris. And that'll be fun to hear from you. So, like always, this is how we go about it. I'm Eddie Z. This is my co-host here.
What's my name?
What's my motherfucking name?
Jesus. Chris Wizard.
There you go. All right, so I'm Eddie Z, Chris Wizard. Once again, I want to thank everybody for their continued support on Facebook. We're catching a little steam on Twitter. We've actually been retweeted by the WWE a few times, and that's been pretty exciting. I know it's nothing special, but to actually get that, we hardly even talk about wrestling on this podcast, so to get that kind of stroke is pretty cool. You can find us at The Kitchen Sink 2 on Twitter. You can find us on facebook.com/the.kitchen.sink. No, I'm sorry. Leave out the. You can find us at facebook.com/kitchen.sink.12.
Speaking of wrestling, I want to mention something because I actually watched Raw.
Okay. You want to save it for after the break or you want to do it now?
No, it's going to be real quick.
It might not be.
Yeah, true, but that's okay.
Okay, so let's go. Let me just.
We don't actually have any commercial agreements.
Okay, one second. You can also send all your comments to our Gmail account at thekitchensink2014@gmail.com. Thank you for your continued support. We love all your questions. We love your participation. Let us know what you want us to talk about. And if you put it on Facebook, we will talk about it. We'll give you full credit for bringing it up. We want you to be as much part of this show as myself and Chris Wizard is. So now we're going to Chris. What was it you want to say about wrestling?
The fans are starting to make me hate CM Punk.
Listen.
And Daniel Bryan. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I don't hate them. I think they're amazing. But the fans are starting to irritate me. Make me not like them.
So I'm going to go.
Because they're chanting their names during good matches. And then when Daniel Bryan's on, they're chanting CM Punk. And what's going to happen when CM Punk comes back? They're going to chant Daniel Bryan like a bunch of boobs.
Okay. All right, you know what? Forget the break right now.
Forget the break!
This is what we're going to do right now. We're going to get to a break, but I got to because I'm seeing more and more of my fellow wrestling brethren starting to feel more like I've been feeling for the last 6 months to a year. And it's, and I wrote this on Facebook. I didn't put it on the kitchen sink. I used my actual, you know, personal Facebook account, which some of you might know me. And I put it out there that, you know, it's insulting. This is insulting. And let me tell you why. Because 10 years ago, we didn't have people going to the shows and literally trying to ruin every match because of their pouting about every fucking thing that goes on.
Yeah.
Like, the fans... Ridiculous. Look, I know they pay their money. Fans, you are allowed to do whatever you want. You paid your high-priced ticket with your high-priced soda and your high-priced t-shirt. I get it. We're the reason that WWE exists. But do we go to the movies and start screaming at the movie theater when things don't go our way in the movies? Do we ask for our money back? Do we write to Michael Bay and tell him he better change the next movie?
Do we go to a Michael Bay movie and chant Christopher Nolan? I mean, like, do we do that?
Yeah. Exactly. I can't wait till Justice League comes out and everybody starts going in there. Bail.
Oh, man.
Do we go to baseball games? You know, for anybody who lives in New York, you know, I'm not a Yankee fan, but I've gone to a lot of Yankee games. I'll just watch for the love of actually being at the game, unless my actual team is playing. But if I'm not a fan of either team on the field, I don't start chanting my team's name. It's stupid. I paid money, but there's a certain level of etiquette that you should be enjoying the show. And so let me get... Yeah. Answer me this, fans. Right? I get it. You want your CM Punk.
Answer me this, actually. Would you like to see a whole card of Raw with only CM Punk and Daniel Bryan?
Oh, my God. I can't even watch 15 minutes. Unless they're wrestling, I can't watch 15 minutes of these guys. Because I just can't. And
fans are ruining it.
No one person...
Can we stop booing Cena?
Yeah. Dude, you're touching on all my topics, bro.
I just, you know, and I'm coming into this, like, I haven't seen Raw in a while because I'm, like, sick of the product. I love wrestling, sick of the product, but I decided to watch yesterday, and it was a solid card, and that's what pissed me off. It was a great show, and there were great matches, and these...
Morons
are chanting CM Punk.
Through everything.
They're chanting Daniel Bryan. When he's not around, and when he's around, they're chanting CM Punk.
They chant this. Everyone loves Bray Wyatt, and then Bray Wyatt comes on. He's giving one hell of a promo to Cena, amazing promo. And everybody's going CM Punk. You can't even hear what he's saying.
Yeah,
they do the Hall of Fame. They do the Hall of Fame with Paul Bearer.
Yeah,
CM Punk.
Like, really? That's disgusting.
It's.
That you should walk out of that arena if you did that and jump in the nearest lake and just
drown. It's insulting, man, because I remember I would be able to watch wrestling, and when the match came out of the fan you liked or you did the wrestler you liked or you didn't like, you would cheer or boo. And if you wanted somebody to jump in, you would chant for that person hoping he came from the back.
Yeah.
And then after that match, we moved on to the next match.
But if it had something to do with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, some type of angle. Yeah. When somebody was giving a promo, you know, 10 years ago, we were going, Rocky, or, you know, Stone Cold. Even though we just got over the Watt chants, the Watts never interrupted anything except when someone went, you know what I'm doing here? What? Let me tell you what I'm doing here. The fans waited for their in. Now we're having great matches, and all people could chant is yes, and CM Punk. And let me ask you something, and this is the thorn thing. Daniel Bryan was a champion for about 4 months. Ah, he was a bad guy, though, on SmackDown. Nobody gave a shit about Daniel Bryan then.
Yeah.
CM Punk was a champion for over 400 days. Ah, but he was a bad guy. Boo-hoo-hoo. Now all of a sudden, WWE goes, okay, that's it. You know, they got their, let's move on. No, but why? Yes, CM Punk. And it's like, we gave you that. Yeah. You had that. And you didn't care about him. Now you want it, and we're supposed to just change everything that we have because what we gave you, you didn't like it at the time?
Sorry to touch on a nerve.
It frustrates me because I've been a wrestling fan for 31 years. And never in my life have I seen an era of a generation, like Triple H said yesterday, what's wrong with this generation? This generation of people who just can't accept when you're not good enough. So when you're not good enough, all of a sudden you make your own way. And because you don't make your own way, you say, we're burying you. We're not giving you what you want. And I agreed with him, man. And the thing I say about 10 years ago, because 10 years, we didn't see this hijacking bullshit. Before Twitter and all, we didn't see this culmination of people crying and pouting and trying to ruin the show purposely. So here's the thinking. I'm such a fan that I'm going to pay $35 for my ticket, drink a $10 soda, probably buy a $32 t-shirt, and ruin the show so nothing goes on.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend close to $100 to make sure nothing happens here. That'll teach him.
Yeah. It's real smart.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it just bothers me because 10 years ago, now 10 years later, all those 5, 6, and 7-year-olds have computers and they know how to use Twitter. And now they're all forming little hate gangs to go to WWE. And, you know, the IWC was born, Internet Wrestling Community. And they think that, you know what, let's ruin the one thing we love because we're not getting our way. That don't sound like fans to me.
Yeah.
That sounds like spoiled little bitches.
Oh, Uncensored, folks, is here. Uncensored. So,
to me, the IWC, to me, the whole idea... Listen, you can say what you want. You have the right to. And you could definitely disagree with me. It's cool. Most of my friends that I know who watch wrestling disagree with me anyway. And it's cool. We have these debates.
And they have a podcast about it.
Yeah, and it's fun. And we move on about it. But that's how I feel that a lot of times.
And they're wrong about everything. But sorry.
That these wrestling fans don't even really care what happens. Because they cut off Bray Wyatt. They cut off that 6-man match where they were chanting CM Punk. They stopped for 2 seconds to go, this is awesome. This is awesome. CM Punk. They ruined the whole show, which I watched in mute after like the first 25 minutes with some music in the background, so I was okay. But it seemed like every time I unmute it...
No, it was from beginning to end.
It was still going on.
Yeah.
And you know what, people? All you have to do, like I did, was mute it. And then you don't got to deal with it. And listen up, IWC, everybody who goes to these shows and tries to ruin it, the fans who really want to enjoy the show, all we got to do is mute it. And everything goes away.
Yeah. Agreed.
And you missed the show.
Agreed.
So when John Cena goes in there and goes, that's all good. Everybody wants change. But that change has got to go through me. I nearly jumped out of my seat. And I was like, tell him, John. Fuck these motherfuckers. All right. So I told you that wasn't going to be short.
Well, I was so good I started.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah. I'm glad you watched it yesterday because yesterday was an excellent show. And maybe that was a show that slowly brings you back. But it was Chicago. I get it. It was Chicago. That's CM Punk's hometown. There was a hashtag that said hijack Raw. Hashtag hijack Raw. That everybody was passing around on Twitter.
It's awful.
And then Daniel Bryan made fun of it in a sense. Yeah, we're going to hijack the show. He wasn't standing behind you fans. He was actually doing what McMahon told him to do. Let's make light of the subject and make fun of it. But, like rubber, you all ate it up.
Yeah. I mean, even the even Christian and
this is awful. Yeah. 1.5 minutes in the match. This is awful.
That was a great match. Oh, man. People don't know nothing.
Yeah,
don't know nothing.
Yeah, it's insulting to me. I'm 36, and...
Please stop watching wrestling, guys.
It's awful, man. You know.
I mean, I don't want to say, I don't want to be like, oh, we're like pro this or that. It's just give it a little bit of a rest and then come back later to it. Let it be.
What's going
to
happen?
Let it rest.
Let me ask everybody out there.
I love Daniel Bryan. I love
CM Punk. They're talented.
But that fans group of are people,
ruining it.
Yeah, they're making me not want to see him.
So like, I'm done with CM Punk.
Yeah. They're having the reverse effect of what they want, is my point.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're going to ruin these guys' careers.
Because they're going to get put into a position that the fans want to see him in. And then the WWE is going, okay, here you go. You like him? You got him? Okay, it's been 2 months. Bye-bye. And now you got what you wanted, and then what?
And then they're gonna be at home, not wrestling, because of you.
Yeah, exactly. They're gonna be Dolph Ziggler-ing.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember what you guys did to him? You made him go so crazy that they gave him the title. Then they made him lose it. They made you happy. They sent him home, and now he opens up all the shows as a jobber. So be aware, guys. I see it coming. That's why I like what Batista said. I don't care about these fans. These fans and their computers and their comic books. In my day, guys like Daniel Bryan would have never been a champion. It's amazing what WWE accepts as championship material. That was brilliant. I want Batista to win the world title at WrestleMania. Yeah.
Although I'm a little confused on that, though, because he's in, like, a superhero movie and they're making him a bad guy.
They didn't want to.
Yeah.
They didn't want to, but the fans pushed it. Every time he came out, they booed the bejesus out of this
guy.
So
they're going to ruin wrestling
and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Thanks. Thank you.
They're going to sell. This is how you do it. Make them the world champ.
Yep.
All the way until Guardians of the Galaxy comes out.
Yep.
And that's it. All right, friends. We're going to go on our first break right now. We'll be back in a few.
Ed needs to take some pills.
Yes. My blood pressure pills.
Sucker tried to play me, but you never paid me, never.
Oh no, you didn't.
Payback is a coming, you will be running forever.
Oh no, you didn't.
Until I get my vengeance, I will never end this mayhem.
Oh no, you didn't.
I'm a mercenary, you ain't got a prayer, you owe me.
Oh no, you didn't.
Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no.
First you try to trap me, then you bust a cap in my ass.
Oh no, you didn't.
Such humiliation will bring annihilation at last.
Oh no, you didn't.
It will be delicious when I get vicious tomorrow.
Oh no, you didn't.
There's no second chances, you will do the dance of sorrow.
Oh no, you didn't.
Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Didn't you? Oh no, you didn't pay me what you owe me. So now it's over for you.
What a fool. Alright, come on.
Oh no, you didn't.
Better watch your back, boy, keep running. This ain't just a game, I'll never stop coming. I got my arsenal, I put out the call. And when I'm finished, y'all, you'll be a rag doll.
Fool, try to diss me, now you're gonna wish you were dead.
Oh no, you didn't.
After I deliver, your blood will be a river of red.
Oh no, you didn't.
Better beware when no one's there to defend you.
Oh no, you didn't.
So many ways to kill, it's gonna be a thrill to end you.
Oh no, you didn't.
Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Didn't you? Oh no, you didn't pay me what you owe.
For that?
Yes, sir. Whatever that is.
Huh?
I'm always ready for it.
Oh, boy. This guy.
That's what happens when you press record early.
Jack off. Anyway, so now we're going to get to top five origin stories. What are your favorite origin stories? And I'm going to start off by asking Mr. Zombie. After he's calmed down, he's taking his pills, his blood pressure is lowered, he looks less like a beet, so he's good.
Alright, so I went with, I found four.
And this is your number five, right?
I went four. I was really trying to find a number five. Maybe by the end of our segment, I'll have a number five. But I got four right
if
now.
I'm going to name one, and if I name it and you haven't thought about it, you're going to be really upset.
Okay, no problem. All right, so I'm going to go with my number four. Okay? Okay. All right. The Predator.
Okay.
And I really enjoy the Predator origin. You know, there's a lot of stories out there, which I think AVP kind of nailed the closest thing to the origin of the Predator. About, you know, them being a planet, you know, bred to be hunters. And they always had a relationship with Earth. And they used to use our Earth as like a hunting ground. And, you know, to put the aliens in. And they would search the galaxy to hunt. And that was like a rite of passage for the greatest hunters in their race and their clan. Was to hunt, and they had to either lived or they died. So you know, I really like the way the Predators played out. I liked how when the first Predator movie came, you really didn't know what was going on. And to me, I thought Predator 2 was more of a direct storyline to
who you mean the Predator Predators. 2 far in the future of 1997?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought that it was a better take on who the Predators were, because originally Predators 2 were going to be NC-17 rated because of so much crazy, ridiculous like scenes that were in that movie. But they decided to be in Los Angeles hunting some of the most deadliest gangsters in Los Angeles, because they thought in our human race they represented the most hellish, you know, type of people. And I really like that. I like the Predators in LA. It seems niche. I almost found it better than the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, the first one. It
just really? All
right. I like the first one.
That's a big statement.
I like the first one better than part two, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think as a whole, to tell the Predator story, I think part two did a better job of telling us who the Predator were. You know? And at the very end scene, when they all come out and they all got the skulls, when Danny Glover looks at all the skulls and you see the alien skull, that was big for me. And I went, wow, that made me want to know more about the Predator. Because I always thought Predator was just a beast created to make a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. But once part two came out, I'm like, wow, there's a deeper story with these guys and how they connect to the aliens, you know? So I think the Predator's backstory is also going to tie into something, you know, another thing I have here. But I thought the Predator's backstory, and then they made Aliens vs. Predator, which was whatever. But it was still cool because they kind of went back into what the Predators were and hunting them in that maze with the aliens. And then Requiem, I thought was awesome. AVP Requiem, I thought was awesome. It was dark. It was scary. I thought that was really cool. And they never did anything with it. That ending in Requiem was pretty cool when the alien came out of the Predator's stomach. But it had kind of a Predator thing on it. You know, it had like the Predator mouth. But then another. That was pretty cool. And then the movie Predators, where all the prisoners were falling and they parachuted into the planet of Predators. I just love everything about Predator. And it makes me want to read the comics even more and get more info on them. So Predators was my number four.
Okay. All right. Well, first, actually, before I name my number five, I was looking around and I could not find the actual story of... maybe it's there. Maybe I just missed it. Of Super Mario.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I found out, like, the origin of, like, the game, where how they, why they named the guy Mario and all this, because Nintendo, the U.S. building with Nintendo in it, owned the landlord some money, and his name was Mario, so they came to some sort of agreement and named him Mario. That's and awful. They wanted him to be, like, working class, relating to the working man. Something to that effect, right? Yeah. So, but I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is a plumber and his brother who ends up in some magical world who eat shrooms to get power, right?
Yeah.
And they eat flowers and they do, you know, they murder, like, animals and stuff. So is this, like, inside, like, is the actual story, is this, like, some meth head running through the forest jumping on, like, actual turtles and stuff, thinking he's saving a princess. You think about it.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
And he's eating mushrooms, or you know, from the ground. I mean...
And what's the symbolism of him eating something and getting bigger?
Oh, boy. Let's not get into that. Wow. You know. Anyway, food for thought is... You know, I don't know what you... If you ever thought about that.
I saw the Mario Brothers movie.
Get out of here. That's,
I thought that was the biggest, the best adaptation for Mario.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
It was the worst thing
Jeez.
Ever.
Oh my goodness.
Oh.
Alright, so, alright, my actual one, and I'm just gonna say it, The Crow.
Okay.
The origin of The Crow. I mean, that's a pretty... You know, the first movie was great, and maybe after that, they weren't so hot. But,
Just never lived up to the first one.
You know, about the story of...
They weren't bad, though.
Yeah, no, not at all. You know, the guy gets murdered trying to save his girlfriend, and he comes back from the dead just to do that, you know.
But the idea of The Crow, wasn't it that The Crow resurrected people who The Crow felt needed... To have ultimate vengeance?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, The Crow or whatever. The actual Crow, not the dude.
Yeah, no,
the actual Crow was... Crow. Resurrected the person who needed to have that revenge. And who deserved that revenge.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, that hits, like, some points. You know what I mean? Like, that hits some emotional points. You know, of course, something happens to you and your family, you're going to want to avenge that. And to me, that's, like, the epitome... Of a reason to kick some ass, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, no.
So that's my number six, and that movie had the best soundtrack ever.
It can't rain all the time.
Oh man, he's singing! Please stop. Why did I say that?
It took me 48 minutes, man. All right, I gave it a shot, but you said soundtrack. You did it.
How long is our show? Like an hour or so? Can you make it like an hour or so next time?
Yeah.
Like sing when we press stop. Anyway.
I'm the wave of the future.
Now for your uneven numbers. I mean, no, your even numbers.
The Aliens Prometheus storyline. How the aliens came about. So it ties into the Predators.
Okay.
Love the Prometheus movie. Never read the books. Not gonna lie.
There was a book?
Yeah, there was a Prometheus book. And Prometheus graphic novel.
Oh, the comic book. Okay.
Yeah. And I never really delved too far into the alien storyline in the comic books, which I'm doing now, actually. Trying to read some old graphic novels of the alien series. But I just love the fact that a superhuman race from, what was it, the future? Or a different universe?
No, just there.
There, actually created the alien.
According to the movie, they also created humans.
And they created humans. Yeah, the one thing that created the humans through their own, you know, biology and their own chemical warfare ended up creating the aliens. We're not going to ruin Prometheus too much, but you have to see Prometheus, people. Everyone says it's too long. Like I said last time, it's an excellent movie, especially if you love sci-fi.
I think it's really smart because it's connected to two huge sci-fi movies, Aliens and Blade Runner.
Yep. And if, like I said, if you're a big Predator fan, you can't go wrong. Because along the way, Predator and Aliens... Thing is that Prometheus movie kind of changes the history, though, of that a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Because...
It said that the Predator kind of created the aliens in one storyline,
was
it?
No, I don't think it actually ever stated directly.
Yeah. So couldn't it have just been that Predators just caught the aliens as pets and then set them loose and raised them?
Yeah.
So maybe it doesn't change the storyline too much. It's just we don't know the timeline in between that.
Yeah.
So, that would the Aliens Prometheus whole storyline.
Okay, that's a good one. All right. So, I'll say, right now, I'll say, and this is a weird one, I'm going to say Dr. Manhattan.
All right.
From Watchmen. Okay, and just the fact, I mean.
Is there an actual backstory to Dr. Manhattan?
Like, well, his origin was, like. I don't think there was an actual comic book. I think it was all just in... Everything about Watchmen was in that graphic novel.
Yeah.
Until later on, they made, like, backstories. But the thing about... The one thing I appreciated about Dr. Manhattan... Maybe the character is not the greatest character, but I like this the point of where you become, you transcend, you become something else, you become something above human. You know, literally, he sees into the past, he sees into the future. Like, he almost becomes, like, you know, what's the word? Like, he has, like, godlike powers. You know, yeah, what I mean?
Omniscient, almost.
Yeah. So, like, the fact that a human evolves to that point through his own experimentation, I think, is very interesting.
Yeah, that's good. I saw Watchmen. I loved Watchmen. And obviously, I just was one of the fanboys that fell in line with loving Rorschach. I thought the idea of Dr. Manhattan was cool because you think someone with godlike powers would be more empathetic to the human need. And he was kind of actually ice cold about everything.
Yeah.
As if though he had no emotional ties to being human.
Exactly.
So that was kind of cool. I go with my next one would be Galvatron. Megatron.
He had to throw Transformers
Galvatron
into.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but knowing what I know now, how Megatron used to work for the Primes as a military leader, it was awesome, and how the Primes came off as the good guys on Earth, but they were really big, you know, sons of bitches on Cybertron, and they wanted Megatron to be their mercenary, their hitman, and he was like, "This is not what it's for. This is not what it's for, Prime. You know, we're army, we're the military, we're supposed to protect people." And he was like, "No, you work for me." The Primes are like, "You work for us. Do what we say, or we disband you and we get rid of you." And he was like, "No, no, no, you won't get rid of me. We're the greatest army in all the universe." And the Primes thought he was bluffing. And he was like, the army was called the Decepticons. Everybody else on the planet was called Autobots. But the military on Cybertron was called Decepticons. And he said, "No, we're tired of your shit." And they started spreading the word. Anybody tired of the Prime's shit will become a Decepticon. So everybody who kind of, all the, I'd say body, but all the robots who decided, well, we're going to stick with the Primes, became Autobots. And everybody that the Primes are trying to get rid of, who they were sending Megatron after, became a Decepticon. So you start thinking about Decepticons and Autobots, like, who really are the good guys here? You know, this is like us. We're kind of like a government over here. You know, we go somewhere else, we're the bad guys. But here in America, you know, our government's the good guys. So the whole idea that Megatron is perceived as this evil, evil person on Earth, but in his own planet, he was kind of standing up for what was right. And he got pegged as this bad guy. So when he finally got left Cybertron and he came to Earth, he was like, "You know what? I'm going to run my own planet and kind of show them how it's done." But the Autobots was like, their ego is too big. "No, no, 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 no. You ain't running nothing, man. We're going to get rid of you." So in actuality, Optimus, the Primes just want to get rid of Megatron because they just don't want him around no more because he knows all their secrets. It has nothing to do if he's a bad guy. He's just going to do what the fuck he does. So Megatron is like one of my favorites. Yes.
I gathered. All right. So my next one is Spider-Man.
Okay.
You know,
which one? Spectacular? Amazing? Super?
It's all the same Spider-Man. Origin Man.
Okay. But, okay.
Yeah, turn around.
But there's one with Mary Jane and then Emma Watson. Not Emma Watson. Something Watson and Mary Jane.
How does that change his origin, man?
I don't know. The movie said he got bit in one and then he got
just
bit in the neck.
Just look at the screen. Do what you do. Click buttons and stuff.
I'm gonna click buttons.
Calm down. Just keep clicking and shit.
Okay.
Oh man, the people I gotta work with. Oh gosh.
Work? They paying you? I'm not paying you.
No, you're not. You're not paying me.
All right, Spider-Man. Go ahead. I apologize for digressing. Thought there was two kind of slightly same, slightly different backstories to him.
He was bitten by a spider.
Got it.
Okay. But anyway, his story, you know, the story is kind of a story of redemption where he wasn't going to be a superhero, but then he let that burglar go and a member of his family died for it. So from that moment on, he knew what the right thing to do was through experience, bitter experience, but experience, you know, and with great power, there must also come great responsibility. One of the greatest comic book quotes ever. So there you go. That's, you know, a tale of morality. You know, I can appreciate that.
So let me ask you, which movies so far are you liking better? The original by Raimi or the new ones coming out?
I haven't seen...
You haven't seen the one with the lizard yet?
No, I haven't seen the new ones yet.
Oh, it's so good.
Everybody would disagree with me because...
But I do not...
People latch on to new things for whatever reason.
I like the older Spider-Man at first, and then I realized they were kind of dumb. You know, the casting. You know, Tobey Maguire? Yeah, is...
Tobey Maguire.
Cool and everything else, but I don't know about Spider-Man.
You know what Tobey Maguire is? Tobey Maguire is...
He's kind of whiny.
Is Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, exactly. That
everything,
scene.
Everything he looks like he's about to cry.
Yeah.
Every scene.
Exactly. So, slight overacting there. But anyway. But I gotta see. I gotta watch them.
I like the new ones. I did not like the first Spider-Mans. I mean, all right, now it's gonna sound like I hate them. I don't hate them. I just wasn't... It wasn't exciting for me to watch them. It was ho-hum for me. I saw them. They were cool. Good graphics. They followed the comic books to a T. Okay. Now what? What they're doing with the new ones is they're kind of diverging a little bit away from the comics, but still keeping the storylines intact. So, I like them. I like them better. They're more exciting. They're giving us something different. I thought the whole lizard thing was real cool. And now they're bringing in the Sinister Six.
Okay. I'll give that a chance.
All right, so I guess this is my last one because I couldn't come up with a fifth one. And if I come up with a fifth one, I'll say, hey, this is my fifth one. But
I'm going to tell you one you should come up with.
The Joker for number one. Jack Napier. Originally Jack Napier.
Make that your number one or two because there's one you're
missing. That's my number one. And I say I wanted to leave number two open.
The one you're missing.
I wanted to leave... Yeah, I know I am.
When I say it, you're going to know.
I just can't. I don't want to say Batman.
Let me say it.
Because Batman, you get...
You're forgetting someone.
Rich boy gets... You know, family gets killed, becomes a...
One of your favorite characters.
I'm sure
besides the Joker.
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No, not Jean-Claude Van Damme. Silver Surfer, you
fool. Oh, Silver Surfer. Yeah, so he'll be my number five then. Silver Surfer. All right.
Come on, man.
Norman Rad.
You're babbling about Silver Surfer.
Yeah, you're right. I know. I guess I was trying to stay. And then Galactus wanted to destroy his planet. He didn't want to destroy his planet, so he agreed to be a herald. And then Galactus gave him almost all the same power he had, except for a little bit, because he didn't want to give him all his power. Made him a herald looking for planets, traveling space, looking for planets for Galactus to destroy. No, it's funny. I was talking to my kids about Silver Surfer today because they're playing Marvel Legos. Mm-hmm. And my oldest, Xavier, was like, I was Abomination. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, yeah. And then Lucas was like, I was Silver Surfer. And then Xavier says, Dad, what's Silver Surfer's story? Was he like a surfer that fell into like a pit or something? I'm like, no. And I explained that he was Norman Rad. He came from another planet and Galactus and the Herald business and then Fire Lord and then Supernova. And then finally Galactus made Thrax the Destroyer. Or Thorax the Destroyer. Right? Thorax?
Thorax.
Thorax the Destroyer. And Thorax killed Supernova. And, you know, I gave him the whole thing. So that's interesting. I guess that the Silver Surfer would be number five. And yes, I have the number one issue of Silver Surfer ever.
Yeah, because that's one of mine. I love Silver Surfer. Yeah. But I'm surprised you didn't mention it.
Yeah.
So that's going to be one of mine,
so
too.
That was my number five. But I guess my last one would be Jack Napier, a.k.a. the Joker.
Well, is he Jack Napier?
Well, yeah, Jack Napier.
In the old version he is, then he's not.
Well, like, in one of the comics. So
it's weird. Like, now he's not.
Yeah, well... The thing with Jack Napier...
In the new 52, he's just a Joker.
There was a few comics that changed his backstory, but the one I liked the most was he was a failed comedian who ended up owing a ton of money.
Yeah.
And they came for him and killed his wife.
Yeah.
And he went so crazy, he went psycho.
Yeah.
Where he started wearing, like, a mask over his face and being a bad guy. And then eventually he started painting his face and he lost his goddamn mind. And he realized that he was better off doing more evil because there was nothing left to live for. They killed his wife. You know, there's a lot of things, and they say he was the original Red Hood. So there's a lot of different backstories, but I like that one, that he went crazy because they killed his wife over his own mess up, his own screw up. But there's parts later on in the oldest Batman comics where, you know, he's telling Batman when they ask him, like, who are you? And they're questioning him. And he's just like, they say, you're Jack Napier, right? And he's like, am I? That's what they used to call me. Did I make that up too? Maybe. I don't even know who I am no more. So whoever I tell you I am, just roll with it. So they put that out there to make him Jack Napier or not Jack Napier. Because he wanted to get rid of that identity so bad that he started going... He forgot who he was as a person, as a human, almost. Mm. So he always says, you know, I'm so sick in my head, I can't remember who I was. So if you think I'm Jack, fine. You know, but it's not me anymore. That's not my person. So yeah, in the New 52, he's just the Joker. He's always been the Joker from, you know, that's his thing. He's been the Joker since day one. But, you know, the New 52 is still new in a sense of DC relevance. So let's see how far this goes before we can replace one storyline with the other. But the Joker has always been intriguing to me because...
I mean, who knows what they do now, because I can't keep up to date because I can't afford...
Yeah. The Joker, to me, is... As much as I love Batman, I know in my heart that without the Joker, Batman wouldn't be as interesting to me. And maybe my love affair for Joker is deeper than it is for Batman, actually, when I think about it. But I love the Joker. And it just... Everything about the Joker is he's smart, he's brilliant, and he's ruthless. And that's awesome because he has fun. And it's all... I don't know. Maybe my real love is Joker as opposed to Batman. But I love that whole little series. Like, you don't even remember there's Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy. Because first thing you think about is Joker. And you feel like... To me, anyway, I feel like all those other villains are henchmen to him, in a sense. Because he is the most prominent one.
Penguin is pretty good. Scarecrow.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah. I mean, they were all part of the DC solid. Sinister Six, I guess.
They're pretty solid.
You know? The Scarecrow, Penguin, Catwoman, Poison Ivy, the Joker, and who would be the other one? Don't tell me Solomon Grundy. That's... Nah,
I don't even know whose villain that is. Justice League, I guess. I don't know.
But no, he's a Batman villain. Oh, Bane. There you go. That would be the Sinister Six, right? Of DC. Bane. Right? Joker, Penguin, Catwoman, Poison Ivy, Bane, and Scarecrow.
Yeah.
So, but all right.
Okay. Well, my number one is Captain America.
Oh, Captain America.
There you go. You know, the story of someone who has no ability to fight whatsoever, but still volunteered to do the right thing, and to fight for his freedom, fight for his country, and he volunteered for this crazy-ass experiment, you know, not knowing what it will do to him, you know, and it paid off. He became, you know, he got power, but at the same time, he kept his morality in check, you know, in check. He didn't get, his head didn't gas up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, to me, that's a hero right there.
All right, so look, you got the Crow, redemption.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, redemption. Right, or morality?
Crow's not redemption, Crow's revenge.
Oh, Crow's revenge. Spider-Man's redemption.
Redemption.
And who else you had?
Silver Surfer.
Silver Surfer.
That was one of mine.
And that was a sacrifice.
Sacrifice, yeah. And
it was Captain America. Was what? Loyalty and honor?
And Dr. Manhattan. But Dr. Manhattan, just because he's a crazy character. Yeah. You know, the fact of just becoming something.
No, I see. Different. I'm just looking at your
metamorphosis.
The trend of your backstory choices. Yeah. And
Dr. Manhattan would be metamorphosis.
And though I put Silver Surfer as my number five because you reminded me, a sacrifice, I got Predator, Aliens, Megatron, and a Joker.
Oh, man, guys.
And when you think about it, Silver Surfer started off as a bad guy.
How?
Because he sacrificed himself to save his own planet by destroying other universes and planets to save his own planet.
It wasn't his fault. He lost his memory. He lost everything.
Yeah, I know.
Took away his memory.
But he was still working for Galactus and destroying other universes.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So he started off as a bad guy, but you felt empathy for him because he was being controlled. But he was a bad guy.
Yeah.
He destroyed universes and homes and planets for Galactus. So I guess my trend is goddamn...
Fucked up people?
Bad people with shit to prove and don't take no shit. But Galvatron's really the good guy then. You know?
Oh, here we go. Justifications.
Well, no, I'm just saying. In the same sense that Silver Surfer could be looked at as a bad guy, Megatron could be looked at as a good guy. You know? In their own respects. So... Silver Surfer was a bad guy in space. He came to Earth, became a good guy. Megatron was a good guy in space. Came to Earth, became a bad guy. So, anyway, I had fun with that. I don't believe I forgot Silver Surfer. I was going through my head with so many different origin stories. I wanted to stay away from X-Men and Wolverine and all those things. Just things I enjoy more as far as being a little bit more interesting. And you know me, you know, as long as we've known each other, I've never been... you know, a sci-fi, you know, as big into sci-fi. But when I think back of it, I like so many things from sci-fi, like Aliens, like Predators, like the original Star Trek, like Star Wars, like Buck Rogers, But, you know, I always like those things, but Ice Pirates. Check out Ice Pirates. If you haven't seen Ice Pirates, check it out. It's a weird and wacky, crazy movie.
Wow. You're just pulling stuff out of there, aren't you?
Yes.
Out of the hole, the crevice.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick little break. I'm going to go refill. And when we come back, some news, some notes, and then we'll call it a day.
Jules, did you ever hear the philosophy that once a man admits that he is wrong, that he is immediately forgiven for all wrongdoings? Have you ever heard that?
Get the fuck out my face with that shit. The motherfucker said that shit never had to pick up itty-bitty pieces of skull on account of your dumb ass.
I got a threshold, Jules. I got a threshold for the abuse that I will take. Now, I'm a fucking race car, right? And you got me in a red. And I'm just saying that it's fucking dangerous to have a race car in a fucking red. That's all. I could blow.
Oh, you ready to blow?
Yeah, I'm ready to blow.
Well, I'm a mushroom cloud-laying motherfucker. Every time my fingers touch brain, I'm Superfly TNT. I'm the guns of the Navarone. In fact, what the fuck am I doing in the back? You the motherfucker should be on brain detail. We fucking switching. I'm washing the windows and you picking up this nigga's skull.
So, Chris, would you like to let everybody know what time is it?
Well, right now it's time for...
Weird Shit!
Drunk man says he was trying to drive it off, says the cops. Michael Moore, not the filmmaker, was arrested on a DUI charge last month and admitted he'd been drinking, but told officers he was trying to drive it off, according to a police report published by the TC Palm.
That's brilliant, bro.
He's trying to drive it off. So... That was today's
Weird Shit.
That's ridiculous. That's fantastic, though, man. You get caught cheating. What are you doing? You know, I always told you I had these inhibitions, these feelings. I'm just trying to fuck it off. Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so here's some quick entertaining news for you guys. Everybody who's scared to death about the Ninja Turtles movies is being made by Michael Bay. I know a lot of people were like, Michael Bay, he's going to turn them into aliens. Ah! And everybody started screaming and jumping off rooftops and going to and going to WWE shows chanting, yes, yes, yes.
That's amazing. What a callback. They want to call back to earlier in the episode.
You know, he actually responded to that. So here's a little nip that came from an interview. And it's from Michael Bay. This is comments about Ninja Turtles. And he goes, this is what started all the craziness. When you see this movie, kids will believe one day that these turtles do exist. When we're done with this movie, these turtles in reboot are from an alien race, and they're going to be tough, edgy, and funny, and completely lovable. And that sent a firestorm of hate mail and more Michael Bay backlash. Why he's changing the Ninja Turtles to aliens. And then which responded, you know, as soon as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles creator, the actual creator, Peter Laird, read this, he came to defense of Michael Bay. And, you know, he wrote, and I had the freedom. We took the turtles into outer space and introduced the TCRI aliens, a.k.a. the Ultrons. And then we took you to the origin of the ooze. So the turtles have alien origins. They are from outer space. Ninja Turtles has to well-rounded and turtle history and lore. We don't want to take that away from the fans. So what they're trying to say is there is an outer space mechanism to the Ninja Turtles because in the backstory of the Ninja Turtles, the mutagen
By Krang's gang?
Yeah, from Krang's gang that came from a different dimension, right? Who were from outer space. Yeah.
Was it Dimension Z?
It was Dimension Z.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my Ninja Turtle shit.
Damn! X or Z? Yeah, Z. So, yeah.
I mean, you're from Dimension X, so.
So, the whole outer space thing really was about the ooze. And the ooze being able to create the Ninja Turtles. So... He wants to touch up on the outer space aspect of it, which means we might be seeing more than one Ninja Turtles film. So for all the fans, you know, who are already tying up their noose and throwing it around that pillar or the swing set on the backyard, just hold on. All right, give them a chance. The actual creator of the Ninja Turtles is working with Michael Bay to make sure Michael Bay doesn't fuck this up. Give him a chance. I don't think the creator is going to go, you know what? Let's take everything I've created and throw it out the window. Because that's who I am. No, the creator, the actual creator, is going to be side by side with Michael Bay to make sure he keeps things in order. And that little doo-doo that you heard, that was my good friend Mitch L. Hennessy dropping us a salute and showing us love on the Facebook page. You guys could check him out at Mitch L. Hennessy on Facebook or... at the Devoted Soul Entertainment. Some really good hip-hop. I want to say underground hip-hop, but this man should be on labels. He should be on albums right now. He should be in the Grammys. This is an ultra-talented guy. He has a lot of talent on the Devoted Soul Entertainment label. Check him out. It's on our Facebook page. And all the luck to him. He's been banging it out for a very long time. And sooner or later, this guy's going to hit it big. And I'm going to be real proud to say that we've been friends since I was like 12 years old with this guy. So good stuff to Devoted Soul Entertainment. That was our news for Ninja Turtles. Chris, you got anything to add?
You're a sick fuck.
Cool. So, I mean, you know, you're telling the people what they don't know, I guess.
You relate too closely to the Joker.
Yeah, man. I think my love affair has really been with the Joker as opposed to Batman. I think that's why I was a Joker for two Halloweens in a row. All right. So, that was good. I had fun. I love the origin story. That was pretty good. Rubber, watch it.
Don't.
It's fun. Don't listen to this guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, Chris. You can't say don't. I sponsored your stupid Sharknado.
You loved it. Shut up.
I forced myself to love it. I wouldn't have watched it.
Dude, you loved it.
When sharks are in the water and people run out the building screaming.
Point being is you loved it, right? You said it.
I learned to love it.
Did you? Did
like
you
a blind, it? Deaf, one-legged dog, you learned to love it.
But you loved it.
That's how you like it.
But you loved it.
Like I would love a blind, deaf, one-legged dog.
But you loved it.
But is that love or more sympathy?
That's love, my man.
You're using love in the wrong term here.
Am I?
Yeah, it was entertaining because of the stupidity.
Right, am I? Are you sure? Positive about that, my man?
All right.
You sure?
Listen, if you haven't seen Sharknado, watch it. You're going to be missing out on something really stupid that you could talk about later. if you really want to check out something a little bit more artsy, a little bit more serious, and something that has a little bit more, like a deeper message to, But it's still entertaining.
Deep my ass.
Watch Rubber. I know, Chris. I saw the videos.
It's supposed to be secret.
All right, folks. You know, if you haven't
heard, one guy, one cup.
If you haven't heard about the gentleman who defended his wife with a Link sword, Legend of Zelda sword on the news, that just shows me he was having fun, staying passionate, and being safe. Anything to add, Chris?
I might be speechless for once.
Good night, folks.
You, John Wayne? Is this me?
Who said that? Who the fuck said that? Who's the slimy little communist shit twinkle toed cocksucker down here who just signed his own death warrant? Nobody, huh? The very fucking godmother said it. I'm fucking standing. I will PT you all until you fucking die. I'll PT you until your asshole for sucking buttermilk. Was it you, you scroungy little fuck, huh?
Sir, no, sir.
You little piece of shit. You look like a fucking worm. I bet it was you.
Sir, no, sir.
Sir, I said it, sir.
Well, no shit. What have we got here? A fucking comedian, private joker. I admire your honesty. Hell, I like you. You can come over to my house and fuck my sister. You little scumbag! I got your name! I got your ass! You will not laugh! You will not cry! You will learn by the numbers! I will teach you! Now get up! Get on your feet! You had best unfuck yourself or I will unscrew your head and shut down your neck!
Sir, yes, sir!
Private Joker, why did you join my beloved corps?
Sir, to kill, sir!